Transcendental Wild Oats by Louisa May Alcott. On the first day of June, one year in the 1840s, a large wagon, drawn by a small horse and containing a motley load, went lumbering over certain New England hills with the pleasing accompaniments of wind, rain, and hail. A serene man with a serene child upon his knee was driving, or rather being driven, for the small horse had it all his own way. A brown boy, with a William Penn style of countenance, sat beside him, firmly embracing a bust of Socrates. Behind them was an energetic-looking woman, with a benevolent brow, satirical mouth, and eyes brimful of hope and courage. A baby reposed upon her lap, a mirror leaned against her knee, and a basket of provisions danced about at her feet as she struggled with a large, unruly umbrella. Two blue-eyed little girls, with hands full of childish treasures, sat under one old shawl, chatting happily together. In front of this lively party stalked a tall, sharp-featured man in a long blue cloak, and a fourth small girl trudged alone beside him through the mud as if she rather enjoyed it. The wind whistled over the bleak hills. The rain fell in a despondent drizzle, and twilight began to fall, but the calm man gazed as tranquilly into the fog as if he beheld a radiant bow of promise spanning the gray sky. The cheery woman tried to cover everyone but herself with the big umbrella. The brown boy pillowed his head on the bald pate of Socrates and slumbered peacefully. The little girls sang lullabies to their dolls in soft, maternal murmurs. The sharp-nosed pedestrian marched steadily on, with the blue cloak streaming out behind him like a banner, and the lively infant splashed through the puddles with a duck-like satisfaction pleasant to behold. Thus these modern pilgrims journeyed hopefully out of the old world to found a new one in the wilderness. The editors of the Transcendental Tripod had received from Messrs. Lion and Lamb, two of the aforesaid pilgrims, a communication from which the following statement is an extract. "We have made arrangements with the proprietor of an estate of about 100 acres, which liberates this tract from human ownership. Here we shall prosecute our effort to initiate a family in harmony with the primitive instincts of man. Ordinary secular farming is not our object. Fruit, grain, pulse, herbs, flax, and other vegetable products, receiving assiduous attention, will afford ample manual occupation and chaste supplies for the bodily needs. It is intended to adorn the pastures with orchards and to supersede the labor of cattle by the spade and the pruning knife. Consecrated to human freedom, the land awaits the sober culture of devoted men. Beginning with small pecuniary means, this enterprise must be rooted in a reliance on the succors of an ever-bounteous providence, whose vital affinities, being secured by this union with uncorrupted field and unworldly persons, the cares and injuries of a life of gain are avoided. The inner nature of each member of the family is at no time neglected. Our plan contemplates all such disciplines, cultures, and habits as evidently conduce to the purifying of the inmates. Pledged to the spirit alone, the founders anticipate no hasty or numerous addition to their numbers. The kingdom of peace is entered only through the gates of self-denial, and felicity is the test and the reward of loyalty to the unswerving law of love.